Let us begin the service by singing number 289, 2, 3 and 4. 289. Let hearts rejoice that seek the Lord and call upon his name. Seek ye Jehovah and his strength. Seek him forevermore. Number 289. The stanzas 2, 3 and 4. First, we will read to you the 12 article of faith. I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead, he ascended into heaven, and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, I believe in holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Further, we read to you from God's holy word, the prophet Ezekiel, the 29th chapter, and we commence with verse 13. Ezekiel 29. Yet thus says the Lord God, at the end of 40 years will I gather the Egyptians from the people whither they were scattered. And I will bring again the captivity of Egypt, and will cause them to return into the land of Patros, into the land of their habitation, and they shall be there a base kingdom. It shall be the basest of the kingdoms, neither shall it exalt any itself any more above the nations. For I will dismiss them, that they shall no more rule over the nations, and it shall be no more the confidence of the house of Israel, which bringeth their iniquity to remembrance, when they shall look after them, but they shall know that I am the Lord God. And it came to pass in the 27th year of the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. Every head was made bold, and every shoulder was peeled, yet had he no wages for his army, nor his army for Tyrus, for the service that he had served against it. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will give the land of Egypt unto Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, and he shall take her multitude, and take her spoil, and take her prey, and it shall be the wages for his army. I have given him the land of Egypt for his labor wherewith he served against it, because they wrought for me, said the Lord God. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus far. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Grace, mercy, and peace be given, and is multiplied unto you from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in the communion of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us now ask the Lord for a blessing. O Lord, it has pleased thee, for the third time in this Sabbath day, to bring us in this house of worship under the preaching of thy holy word and everlasting gospel. Make in this evening, for thy great name's sake, for Christ's sake only, our hearts receptive for the word which shall come unto us. Enable us by the power of the Holy Spirit with boldness and liberty to proclaim thy word in the midst of the congregation, and that it be a blessing for young and old, for great and small, as travelers to that great and ever-ending eternity. That it may please thee, Lord, to come with thy Spirit in our heart and in our midst, and to accompany thy word in this evening, that it shall not be in vain, but that it bears fruit 30, 60, or 100-fold to the coming of thy kingdom and to the establishing of the same. Thou shalt build thy church till the end of the world. Whatever will fall away, and whatever will take place, where our life is changeable, and we don't nothing from day to day, the way of the Lord with men. But Lord, thou art the faithful and unchangeable, the everlasting Jehovah, yesterday, today, and forever the same. Confirm also in thy church and amongst us, and over the length and over the breadth of the earth, thy word that it bears much fruit, that sinners be converted, and thy people receive such a portion for their own heart and soul, that they live in comfort and die with that peace in their heart that passes all understanding. Let thyself not be unwitnessed in this evening. There are no reasons in us at all. But thou hast taken reason out of thyself from all eternity, and that is for the first time and by renewal, that is always the hope and expectation of thy people. Lord, gladden our heart. Prepare us together to meet our Maker in righteousness and in peace. Remember those that cannot gather with us, and those that have no desire to come up under thy word. Thou knowest each and every one. Give desire before that it shall be eternity. And if those that cannot gather with us by sickness and other legal reasons in their homes and where that they are, Lord, visit them in thy love and in thy favor, and that also for them who are bound to their house and living in places where they cannot go up under thy word because it is lacking there in those places, but Lord, remember them in their lonesome life. Speak to their soul peace and pardon in the blood of thy beloved Son Jesus Christ. Remember us together in thy tender mercy and in thy loving kindness. Strengthen thy servants. Increase the number. Help those that are laboring in the mission fields over the length and over the breadth of the earth, and that also the preaching and the instructions that it bears fruit for eternity. Upon that only foundation, God all and men nothing. Remember all the sick and afflicted, the girl who is still in the hospital, and a mother who is laying there looking for a place to come there to undergo an operation. Lord, we commend them both at the throne of grace with all the people amongst us, young and old, great and small, with all that is in the service of the country, with all that rule over us in the alarming times in which we are living. Lord, bring us back to the law and to the testimony, and give the fear of the Lord and thy name in our heart, that we forsake the world and that we learn to walk in the right ways of the Lord. Strengthen also him who is called to bring thy word in this evening again. Help him as thou hast done in the future so many times. And that we seek the honor of the Lord and the welfare of Zion. Bless the country, if it can be, Lord, also with rain. The ground is so thirsty and so hard. They need it in so many places. We are not worthy to give us one drop of rain. But remember us in mercy also our country and the fields and the fruits and the corn. Made everything well after the multitude and the greatness of thy mercy. In thy beloved Son Jesus Christ, and forgive all our sins and all our iniquities, and give ears to ears and heart to observe. For thy great name's sake, amen. Number 275. 275. Thou, O Lord, art God alone, everlasting is thy throne. Through the ages men shall sing praise to heaven's eternal King. Thou enthroned above the skies wilt for Zion's help arise. Let thy grace to her appear, for the promised time is near. Number 275. beloved congregation, we were singing out of Psalm 102. In verse 18, there we are reading, "This shall be written for the generation to come, and the people which shall be created shall praise the Lord." We have, of course, as you know, the revealed Word of God, but we have also the written Word of God. And all that is written before, you read that also in Romans 15, that is also to the comfort of God's people. This shall be written for the generation to come. What is written here in Psalm 102, that is the desolate condition in which the church was in that time, but also the promises which the Lord had given to his church, as Christ himself had said in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you all the days till the end of the world." The church here on earth, church militant, have always his up and his downs. The Bible is full of it. It was not always so flourishing, but there were times, as you know, that the condition of the church, that it was so low that you would say, soon it will come to an end. But then again, the Lord was arising, the Lord showed mercy to Zion for the time to favor her, yea, the set time is come. You see here in this text all that is written not only for the generation that was living at that time, but it is also written for the generation to come. One generation comes and another goes away. You see that before your eyes time and again. There comes an end to everything. An appointed time to be born, an appointed time to die, and the life, Watson, he said that in one of his sermons, the world rings of changes. And so indeed it is. But even what goes away and what falls away, the Lord is the same, and he is the one that upholds his church. We have to realize that the Lord will use men, but we never know what the Lord has in store for us. I will explain that to you this evening out of a text that you will find by the prophet Ezekiel. Ezekiel 29, verse 21. And in that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Thus far. We have here in the text for this evening a joyful and immovable expectation for the future of the church. The text that speaks about the renewed favor for his church, about the renewed strength for his people, and the renewed freedom for his children. That are the three thoughts that we hope to talk about a little this evening to you. Ezekiel 29. Only a few words about him before I come to my text. Ezekiel was a young man when Nebuchadnezzar brought him to Babel. That happens 11 years before the destruction of Jerusalem. He was much younger than the prophet Jeremiah. But the Lord had called him when he was 5 years in Babel as a prophet. And he prophesied for a period of 22 years. He was 63 years old about when he died, when the end of his life was there. The first part of his book and prophecies that was to speak to the people who was in captivity about the coming destruction of Jerusalem, and also the cause of that destruction. He spoke about the sins that they committed and the hardening of their hearts, but that was one of the reasons why that after all the warnings and after all the admonitions that Nebuchadnezzar came to Jerusalem. He was laying before the city, you know that of course well, he was laying for the city for 18 months. before that the people, the population of the city, give it up. They died so many people on account of famine and different sicknesses that finally there was no other way than that they give themselves into the hand of their enemies. Ezekiel, he was also prophesying about the nations round about Judah and Israel. What there would happen with Egypt, what there would happen with Tyrus, and what there would happen with so many other nations of the world. With chapter 33 to 40, then he speaks about the restoration of Judah and Israel. And then the last part, 40 to 48, then he is speaking about that spiritual temple and the order that would be in the house of the Lord. Now the text in this evening that had a special history, and it is written also for the generation to come, what the Lord have to say to us in regard to that. I call my text in this evening a joyful or a glad surprising or an immovable and unwavering expectation which is assured for the church of God. The church came in captivity. And you know, 100 years before that Judah came in Babel, then the 10 tribes, they were already in Assyria. 100 years before already. The Lord warned that Judah time and again, but as it goes time and again with a man alone, and also with a nation not listening to the admonitions and to the warnings of the Lord. Then finally, there was a king with the name of Jehoiakim. The father was Jehoiakim, Jehoiakim as he called him, and the son's name was Jehoiakim of Jonai, so he is also mentioned sometime in the Bible. Also we have the name of Kiona, the same name, the name and different name for the same man. And that man, he was reigning, he became king when he was 18 years old. And then he reigned only for 3 months. He did not obey what Nebuchadnezzar had told him. And then they brought him to Babel. They brought him to Babel at a time with his mother. It seems that he was not married, that he was a single person. And still, Nebuchadnezzar, he had still some thoughts about that Judah, because it was a certain time before that they brought him in captivity. And then there was an uncle from the father of Jehoiakim, King Matthias, and he was made a king instead of that man that now was in prison in Babel. He was later on mentioned with the name of Zedekiah, that name that is, of course, much familiar to us. We read about the name of Zedekiah time and again. And he was ruling 11 years. And he had also to submitted under Nebuchadnezzar. But finally, in the dark, then he went to Egypt to make connection with that country, with the rulers of Egypt. And as soon as that came to light, then the king Nebuchadnezzar persecuted him, because as soon as he did realize that Nebuchadnezzar was displeased with what he had done and that he was coming after him, then he was flying away. Finally, he came in the plain of Jericho, and there Nebuchadnezzar, he found him, and he brought him with all his sons in Babel. And then the first thing what he did, that Nebuchadnezzar, that was to kill all the sons of that Zedekiah. That was done before his eyes. Think about it. What an awful thing to see that when they kill all your children, that you can see it with your own eyes. There was not one child of that Zedekiah living. They were all gone. And then after that they were killed, then they took the king Zedekiah and they pulled out his bows of his eyes. And they brought him in prison. There was it that he also died. What an awful end when we leaving the Lord, people, when we not obey his voice, and when we are making with the Lord what our end will be. We have so many examples in the Word of God. So many warnings and so many admonitions. But now I come back to that boy that was in prison, that boy of 18 years old. He was living in Babel in prison as an unknown man. As an unknown man. You can well realize if you see a person never in years and years, and you hear never about him, then finally there is no people that is talking about you. Sometimes that happens by us too. Some people that is looking every evening to those that died in the city, and as sometimes it happens that people said, I thought that men, that woman, I thought they were gone for a long time already. Were they still alive? Oh yes, but of course they could not come to more to the church. They were by the majority forgotten. What a thought. Now that Jehovah again, that was in jail for 37 years, almost a lifetime. I talk about that history a little broad this evening. I do that especially for the young people. They can know that well out of the Bible, but we know how that goes. Maybe if I came from the pulpit this evening and I say personally to you, how long was that man in prison, that several people could give no answer. Because we have always read that in the Bible, but we pay no, what is the word? No attention to it, right? We know we give no attention to it. 37 years in prison. And then 2 years after that Nebuchadnezzar died, and when Nebuchadnezzar died, then it was 35 years that that man was in prison. 35. But now afterwards he was still 2 years in prison when the son of Nebuchadnezzar was ruling. And that man, of course, he had also ruled not so much longer than 2 years. And the name of that man was Evel-Merodach. Evel-Merodach. You find his name in the book of the Kings and of the Chronicles. And what happens now? I would say a miracle. A great miracle. There it came in the heart of that man, of that king, that son of Nebuchadnezzar, to go to the prison, to visit that man there, and to open the doors of that prison for him. And not only that, but that king, Evelmerodach, that gave Jehoiakim a place at his table, in his palace. A surprise for that man. You cannot realize it. If you have to sit so many years in prison, and then after 37 years, that you are then delivered. What a miracle, and what een wonder, people. That man came in true humility under the Lord, we don't know. The Bible tells us not everything. But you would say, for that man, there were all reasons to say with David in Psalm 116, what shall I render the Lord for all his benefits bestowed upon me? But there was nog een greater wonder. Daar was een greater wonder. Than that man he married. He received a wife. And then out of that marriage was born a boy. You know the name? In Matthew 1, you find the name of that boy that was born. Sealtiel. Sealtiel. Maybe you will say, what means that now? Congregation, David had 14 boys. You can find it in the Bible. Children, look at this up. Look at this up. 14 boys. And there was one boy with the name of Nathan. By the prophet Zechariah, you find that name again. Nathan. And now, that Sealtiel that was born out of the line of Nathan, the still royal blood. And now I go a step further. Now that Sealtiel, you shall take a promise to keep it in your mind away. That you never forget it. Now that Sealtiel, he married later on also. And then he brought a boy in the world. And the name of him was Zerubbabel, Zerubbabel. And he was one of the leaders of Israel after the days of captivity, and he was also out of the generation of David. I say to you this evening in my introduction that the church have bad times, dark times. In the time when Israel was in Egypt, then it seems that the church was buried in the Nile, in that river. But then at last, and the Lord gave outcome and deliverance. In the days of Elijah and Ahab, then the church was so hidden that Elijah said, Lord, I am the only one that is left over. Later on, then it became still more dark, because when Christ must be born in Bethlehem, then you read about Joseph and Mary living not in Bethlehem, but living in Nazareth, in the north part of the country, forgotten by everybody, poor, needy, despised. There was no one that had thoughts about it. And now that Jehoiakim, that was the successor for the house of David, and when he was 18 years old, as I told you, then he was placed in jail, in prison. 18 years old. And then 37 years, what a long time. Not married. But then finally that the Lord giveth in the heart of that son of Nebuchadnezzar to bring him out of prison, to give him freedom and liberty, and then to build a family up. It is the hand of the Lord, people. Nothing else. Therefore I say my text this evening, that is a glad and joyful tiding, and that speaks about the promises of the Lord, unmovable, unwavering, is the future for the church of God. And why? Why had the Lord done that? The people that had sinned it away. There was no some of God's children here and there, as that always shall be in the world. Christ in the Old Testament, and Christ in the New Testament, and Christ at present, and Christ in the future, he shall never be without servants. Never. The Lord himself take care for that. And you read in Matthew 16 verse 18, that the gates of hell, that they never shall prevail the church of God. And at the side of men, oh, then 'tis always hopeless. and congregation, we have not to walk outside of our house, but we all can still stay in our home. And if we then think about what we have to do with the church, with the honor of the Lord, with the future of the church. How many times a year? How many times that it is not lip work, but that it is the work of the heart, that it is bound upon our soul. And if it is bound upon our soul, then we have to say, Lord, that is now thine own work, that thou hast given me a prayer for the church and a sigh for Zion. It is not of me. No. The only thing, congregation, what we can do in our life, that is to sin it away. And now, in the time of the prophet Ezekiel, outwardly, it was all hopeless. Even Egypt, that was a powerful nation at that time, that was given in the hand of Babel. There were already so many kings sitting there in Babel of other nations that were subjects of the king of Babel. One after the other had to give it up. And when it now all came, humanly speaking, to an end, then the Lord, he said, in that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to butt forth. In that day, when it is a hopeless case from the sight of men, that is spiritually in our heart and in our life the same to be. It have to, and I tell you that, congregation, in the name of the Lord, it have to become personally a hopeless case to be saved. That everything, every hope and expectation of ourselves falls away and drops away. Even no more labors, no more prayer, no more faith, so that as a footer, as a cold as a stoner. And then you say, what can we expect now? What can we expect now? But then the Lord, he come and he said, in that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to butt forth. The horn, that means the power, that means the honor of that house. Outwardly, with Zedekiah, it was all gone. A king whose eyes were pulled out. All the children killed. And then the only one have to be in prison his whole life, because that was the decision of the king Nebuchadnezzar. In his mind, it was never to discharge that man, never. but that he'd have to die there. And of course, I think if he had walked in that room where he was in that prison, and that he had said, Jehoiakim, do you expect to come ever out of this place? I think that many have said no, no. I sit here 20 years now. I sit here 30 years. I sit here 35 years. I sit here 37 years now. And still that goes on and that goes on. But then at once, it was in the heart of that son of Nebuchadnezzar to relieve that man. And not only to relieve him, but to give him a place of honor at his table. And that he could build up a family. Oh, they say, well, sometime in the realm of nature amongst the people, from older people, that there happens something in their life, that they say they are young again. Young again. That was not so with that man too. And now that was the prophecy of the Lord, because at the time that prophet prophesied again about it, then that man was sitting in jail. But he said, in that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to but forth. Then by his deliverance, then that was a life out of death. And even that it was in principle, but that horn of the house of Israel, that was elevated, and soon it but forth in Zerubbabel, and then 400 years it has his fulfillment in the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, in the King of Kings, and in the Lord of Lords, who shall build his church till the end of the world, and in whom that the future lay for the church, as we will sing that now, O King of royal race, the sons of heavenly birth, thou wilt endow with kindly gifts as princes in the earth. Thy name shall be proclaimed through all succeeding days, and all the nations of the earth shall give thee endless praise. Number 125, the stanzas 6 and 7. Nú feyður er í nút strengt er í nút liberty. In that day will I cause the horn of the house of Israel to butt forth, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. Je riet bij de prophet Micah, who had lived in the days of Isaiah, that in those days that there was not liberty and freedom to talk. The wise men, the rulers, they were silent. God's people were silent. There was no freedom, there was no liberty on account of their sins and of their transgressions. And when the Lord held such ways with his church, that everything almost is broken down and broken up, and that on account of our sins and our transgressions, even David, he said, I was dumb, I did not open my mouth. Because the first thing that the Lord takes away in the life of his people, that is freedom and that is liberty. Freedom and liberty. There can no freedom and liberty, no access to God's throne, when our life is not in the fear of the Lord. When we are walking in wrong ways, and when we provoke the Lord in our life, the Lord take that freedom away. But now when that horn of the house of Israel to but forth, then, that is in other words, when they see the successor, when they see the heroes for Christ, when they see the growing of the promises to be fulfilled, then there comes freedom and there comes liberty. And I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them. Because even for the prophet Ezekiel, it was a very hard time. The people, you read that in some chapters, the people that came to listen to him, they were sitting as God's people were sitting, and they say nothing against his preaching, but they did not after his words. And then he saw before him that the Lord with his judgment came closer and closer. And part was already in Babel. He belonged to that part too, with the princes and with the nobles people that was in the first time abroad there in the country. And then the common people that have to follow. No freedom and no liberty. But now, when that son of Nebuchadnezzar, Jehoiakim, brought out of prison, that he married and that he had a boy, that there was an expectation for the house of David, and that expectation that is only grounded and founded for the church in the Lord Jesus Christ, that gives freedom and that gives liberty for God's people. And then that promise that is assured there, because it said, and I will give thee the opening of the mouth in the midst of them, and they shall know that I am the Lord. The prophet Ezekiel for himself, he would be established in his calling as a prophet of the Lord. Because before there were many for whom it was in question that he was called by the Lord. And that he really was talking in the name of the Lord. But now the Lord, he said, they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord, in other words, he would give a testimony in the hearts and in the conscience of that people that the Lord in those 22 years that he had served, that people, that he was an ambassador of heaven, that he was sent in the midst of them in the name of the Lord. And they shall know that I am the Lord. The Lord, he took it up for that Ezekiel, but he take it up also for all his people and for all his servants. There can well be times that they are discouraged and dismayed. There can well be times that there are so many burdens upon their shoulders. But the time come that the Lord shall I show that I am the Lord, that they come under that influence and that impression. And now personally congregation that is also when the Lord give in Christ, because that is the whole thing that is the contents of the promise. Christ is the contents of it. That now that people, when Christ come on the foreground, and when he is revealed, that then the church have freedom and liberty. And then Paul, he said in Romans 8, in him, in that Christ, we are more than conquerors. And joyful tiding for the church, even in the day in which we are living, people. How dark it is, and how dark that the future seems to be. Watchman, what is of the night? The morning is there and still it is dark. But here in the text you have the expectation for the church assured and established in the Lord Jesus Christ. The only hope and the only expectation for a poor and for a lost sinner. I hope, congregation, that a few words in this evening, that it be blessed to our soul, that we receive in this evening some comfort out of it for our own heart. What falls away, what changed here in life, but I am the Lord, I am not changing. From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord is God. And therefore, my dear people, oh, that the Lord by his Holy Spirit will make room in our heart for his precious word. If that is lacking, young and old, then everything is lacking. Everything. We are still in the day of grace and still in the land of living. In two of our congregations died a man last week, both in the sleep, while they were sleeping, passing away so quiet that in that respect can happen with us two people. We see one another this evening and we have seen one another this day. But I think about so many empty places here in our own congregation. So many empty places. There is another generation coming up. And it is a blessing if they receive the grace of the Lord to stay with the truth. I hope to see this evening also in that confession class still more than that I have seen last week. However, I was not discouraged with it, but still there is no several here that promised to come and that not came. I hope to see him soon. Tis the calling that the Lord has given us when we come to the years of discretion, and the church and the word itself that shall not save us. No, but we are under the means of grace, and we are obliged to do that, boys and girls. We are obliged to do that. And that the Lord built his church also out of our generation, because we are also close to the end. Can never be different. He can expect it. But still that we see that the Lord caused the horn of the house of Israel to bud forth. To bud forth, that will say to continually to go on out of our children and grandchildren, and that he glorified his name and his power in our hearts, and that is necessary. And in the service of the Lord there is peace for our heart, and there is strength and comfort for our soul. The whole world is empty, boys and girls. There's nothing that can fill our heart. But there's only a triune God who can do that. And Christ, out of his fullness, to give us in our empty hearts and soul grace for grace. And by all the disappointments in our life, and they are many, and most of all with ourselves, people. Most of all with ourselves. But that the promises of the Lord, that it may fill our heart with joy and with comfort for the future, and that we, by the grace of the Lord, parents and children, that we may lean upon it, where the Lord shall fulfill what he ever had promised, to his honor, but also to our soul's salvation. Amen. Lord, bless the preaching and reading and catechizing in the church, also in the day of tomorrow. Be with all of us, with the teachers and with his children, and with the consistory, with the parents and with the children, with the sick and with the afflicted, Lord, give an opening to thy throne, and that all the riddles of our heart and life be unriddled, and that we bring all the needs and wants before the throne of grace, also for us personally, where we are standing for such a decision again. Lord, thou knowest the strife, thou knowest all that is coming up by day and by night, that we never, never will do anything that is against thy holy will. Reveal it unto us, lay the needs in the hearts of thy people, that we meet one another at the throne of grace. Forgive our sins, cover under thy wings, and protect us with our families. In the week that lay before us, strengthen us for all the labors which we have to perform, and that for Christ's sake only. Amen. We sing now 367. Let the King behold thy favor for thy servant David's sake. Number 367, and we start with the first stanza. Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.